All right, if you take your Bible, let's turn to Psalms 1 once again. Just kind of give you an idea, we got probably two more messages out of here next week and the week after, Lord willing. Tonight we're in Psalm 1, verse number 2. Next week, Lord willing, will be in number 3. And then we'll look at verses 4, 5, and 6 to wrap it up. All right, let's begin reading verse number 1. Psalm 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, for the last 3 weeks, we've looked at the one whom the psalmist calls the blessed man, there in verse 1, whose life is pictured in verse number 3 as being full of life, being fruitful, and being prosperous, and we call it successful in the eyes of the Lord. And so we've called this the success of the blessed. We saw in verse number 1 how that this blessed man is different than the ungodly. His worldview is not like the ungodly, and therefore he doesn't walk in their counsel. He knows that he walks to the step of a different one. The ungodly, we know, view things from a temporal, worldly perspective, while the blessed man views things from the eternal, heavenly perspective. And that's the way we're to view things as well. So therefore, the blessed man's definition of success is much different than the ungodly. In fact, the ungodly may even deem the blessed man a loser. You know, they'll look at us and say, well, boy, y'all just a bunch of losers. You know, you spend your Sundays and your Wednesday nights there in that church, and what good does it do you? And that's the attitude of the world. But when the judgment comes for them and us, the ungodly will be the loser, while the blessed man wins in the end because of the Lord and his life. We also saw in verse 1 how this blessed man has a different path. He's not found in the well-worn path of sinners. His way is much different than sinners because he's been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And he puts off that old man that once characterized his life before he trusted Christ, and he puts on the new man that is created in Christ Jesus. Then last week we saw in verse 1 how this blessed man is not found sitting in the seat of the scornful. His conversation is different than those who scorn both God and the righteous. And the blessed man is righteous in the Lord, and so he separates himself from the scorners and the scoffers. In fact, he feels out of place when surrounded by the devil's crowd because his affection is set on things above, not on things on the earth. In stark contrast with the ungodly, and the sinners and the scorners who are all about the world. Now tonight, we move into verse number 2. Finally, right? We spent 1 week on the introduction, 3 weeks in verse number 1, and now we're going to be in verse number 2. Tonight we move here, but we're going to move quickly because we'll just take one night to look at verse number 2, and we'll come back and look at verse number 3, as I said, and then we'll come back and look at verses 4, 5, and 6 in a different. That's the way I've got it planned anyway. We'll see how the plans work out. I don't have the studies done yet, but that, in my mind, I get things sectioned off how I'm going to approach it, and that's the plan that we'll take a look at. Now we see, first of all tonight, the pleasure of the blessed man. That's what we're looking at here. He is genuinely and completely in love with the Word of God. We see the Word has captured his full affection or his love. Verse number 2 there in the very first part says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And that word translated delight there means pleasure. I mean, when you are delighted, that's a good thing, isn't it? He understands that the Word of God isn't a book of fables. Now, this world thinks it is. You know, the world thinks it's full of myths and legends, and that they try to label it as such, but we know that in reality, the Word of God is the God-breathed, infallible, inerrant, absolutely perfect words of the Most High God. And we're to treat it as such. Amen? I think far too many believers take the Word of God lightly. We ought not to take it lightly. These are God's words. This is a God-breathed book. It's unlike any other book. You know, there's all kinds of books. You can go down to the library. Even if you go up to Washington, D.C. and go in there to the Library of Congress, it's mind-blowing how many books there are in the world. But this book is like unlike any other book. It's unlike any other spiritual book. There's a lot of spiritual books that are out there. This is the only one that's God's Word. This is His Word. And we need to accept it as such. I think I referred to this verse Sunday evening. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God. Yes, God used men to pen it, but it's not the Word of men. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, according to Peter. And we know that it effectually works in those that believed in it. What one does with the Word of God shows what one truly believes about the Word of God. What I mean by that is you can take it or leave it. You're probably just going to leave it. You're probably not going to take it. The blessed man loves the Word, and so he seeks to live by the Word, finding in its pages the counsel that he needs, the paths that he should take, and the conversation that pleases the Lord. And in the Word, he finds all he needs to grow and prosper in the Lord. Now, he loves the Word because he recognizes its great value. And what is the value of the Word? I'll give you several things here that the Bible reveals the value of the Word. The Word is valued for its spiritual food. You know, our bodies, we're used to having to feed our bodies. But you know, when you get born again and you got the Holy Spirit of God moves in there, you know, you need to feed yourself spiritually too. Job 23, verse 12, Job said, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." You know, if we had the choice, you're going to give up a meal, or you're going to give up your Bible reading, which would you do? You know, that's basically what Job said. You know, his words are more important than me sitting down and eating a meal. The Word is valued for its spiritual milk. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. It gives the believer a good spiritual foundation to grow up strong and healthy in the Lord. You know, we know, babies like milk, don't they? They need milk to help their foundation of their body, the bones and the muscles and all those things. They need that, that milk in order to grow properly. And so do the nerves in your body. But, when you talk about spiritually speaking, the milk of God's Word lays a good foundation to grow up strong and healthy in the Lord. The Word of God is valuable for spiritual meat. Look at Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews and chapter number 5. You know, when you're young in the Lord, you need to have that milk, and milk's important. But it comes a time in your life, if you're just sticking around drinking the milk of God's Word, not eating the spiritual meat, it can be a problem for you. You're not going to grow strong like you need to. Hebrews 5, verse number 12 says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. In other words, they couldn't digest the meat, they have trouble chewing on the meat of God's Word, so to speak. So for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, the spiritual meat provides all we need to make us strong in the Lord, doesn't it? And we see that the Word is valued not only as spiritual milk, and the Word's valued for its spiritual meat, but the Word is valued as a spiritual staple. I'm talking about bread, Matthew 4, verse 4. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Just about everywhere you go, in fact, I don't know anywhere that you go, that bread is not a part of the food that some people eat. You know, most people, except those that are, I think, on the keto diet. Maybe they even have their bread. I don't know. But what I do know is the bread's important. I like bread. How many of you like bread? Yeah, amen. I mean, like when I sit down to a meal, I like bread with my meal. I do. Bread is considered one of the staple foods of the world. And man also needs a staple of God's Word for his spiritual life. It's that important. You need that staple. The Word is also valued for its spiritual sweetness. Its spiritual sweetness. Psalm 19, verse 10 says, "Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." I want you to think of the many passages that bring sweetness to our soul as we live in the midst of this old bitter world. You know, when you're in the midst of a battle and you go to God's Word, doesn't it bring you a sweetness to your soul? It does me. Nothing has the power to sweeten our life as much as the Word of God. And so the Word is valued for its spiritual food. The Word is also valued for its spiritual light. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." This is a dark world that we walk in. And those that are sinners, they stumble in the darkness. They know not at what they stumble. But we have the light of God's Word. There's no need for us to stumble. Our Word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. Proverbs 6:23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Ephesians 5, verse number 13 says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." You know, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and shines a light on the sin in our lives. That's what it does. That's how we get reproof. Amen. The Word of God is preached, or we read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit takes it and shows us the error of our ways, and it shines a light on those things in our life that need to be changed. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:19, "So we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." We know that it is a light that shines in this dark place in which we live. And we need that light, don't we? And I trust that we embrace the light. The Word is valued for its spiritual light. The third thing there, the Word is valued for its spiritual truth. Is truth. Psalm 119, verse 142, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." You think about how many lies this world is full of. Aren't you tired of lies? I am. I mean, it just like every day it seems like they discover somebody else has lied to you. You know? And it's disheartening in that way. But listen, God will never lie to you. God always tells us the truth, and His law is the truth. Psalm 119, verse 151, "Thou art near, O Lord, and all Thy commandments are truth." John 17, verse 17, Jesus was praying to His Heavenly Father. He was praying for His disciples. He said, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." God's Word is truth. So the Word is valued for its spiritual truth. We see the Word is also valued as a spiritual mirror. Look at James 1, James chapter 1. James 1 and verse number 23. Well, let's back up to verse 22. James 1, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Talking about a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh to the perfect law of liberty, talking about the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What a wonderful thing to have the mirror of God's word to cast an honest look at ourselves. Amen. A lot of times we like to think better of ourselves than we really are. And, you know, the Word of God kind of keeps us on a, keeps it real, doesn't it? Keeps it real. And when it all is said and done, we're still all just sinners saved by grace. That's what we are. We're sinners saved by grace. And thank God for that grace. The Word is valued as a spiritual water. Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, and verse number 25. Ephesians 5 and verse number 25 here. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he, notice this, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Talking about cleansing the church. Sanctifies the church, cleanse the church with the washing of the water. How? By the word. Washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Word is valued as spiritual water. Just like we take water and, boy, when we're dirty, we like to get cleaned up, don't we? We don't like to stay dirty. No, I don't. You know, if I'm dirty, it's kind of like, I need to clean up my act right now. I want to get clean. Don't want to stay dirty long. And we ought to be that way, spiritually speaking too. Because the Word of God, it cleanses. Psalm 119, verse number 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And it says, by taking heed, thereto according to thy word. It quenches. Not only cleanses, but it quenches. Matthew 5, verse number 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You thirst after righteousness. You get in the book, the book will tell you how you can have righteousness in your life. The way to righteousness through Jesus Christ. It also refreshes. And we, you know, there's nothing like a drink of cool water, is there? I remember when I first went to Bible school up in Tennessee Temple, Chattanooga. I was working, cutting lawns. Fellow that was there up there going to school also, he was out of the same church I was out of, but he'd been there a lot longer than I had. And he was going to be going and be a missionary up in Canada. He's no longer around. He died, but he was a pretty young fellow, and I was a young fellow, and he put me to work. I worked for him, but man, we'd get out there, and that first summer we were up there, I'm not lying to you, it was 105 degrees for 2 weeks straight. We didn't have air conditioning in our where we lived at. We had a fan in the window is what we had. And when you're out there cutting yards in 105 degree temperature, it ain't no fun. But I tell you what, water never tasted so good. That cool, clean water, when you got that thirst, it refreshes. Isaiah 55:1 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. So if you're thirsty tonight, go to the water of God's Word. We see the Word is valued as a spiritual sword. Also, Hebrews 4, verse number 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the God's Word is called the sword of the Spirit, and we need that spiritual sword. It's our, you know, it's one of our offensive weapons that we have. That and prayer. the two offensive weapons that we were being given by the Lord. All the rest of the whole armor of God is you know, defensive. It keeps you from being injured. But the Word of God, when you're in attack mode, you can be like Jesus was there in His temptation. And so, it is written. It is written. It is written. That's what the Lord Jesus did, and that's what we need to do. But in order to be able to do that, you got to know what the Word says, don't you? And so, in order to know what it says, you got to be in there. But it is our spiritual sword. And then the Word is valued as a spiritual fire. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 20, verse number 9, he said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." And the Lord said in Jeremiah 23:9, he said, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord?" And so it is a spiritual fire, amen. It can burn out the impurities in your life. The word is valued as a spiritual hammer also. Jeremiah 23:9 also says, "Is not my word like as a fire," he saith the Lord, but it says, "and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces." The word of God can build you up, amen. It can be a hammer that way, or it can break up the stony places. That's why we ought not to give up on our loved ones that hadn't come to know the Lord. And so, you don't know how hard some of my relatives are. You don't know how hard their hearts are. Well, the Word of God can break those stony places. It can. The blessed man is in love with the Word. He knows the value of it and knows that in its pages he can find all that his soul requires to make him all that the Lord wants him to be. Do you want to be all that the Lord wants you to be? I hope that you do. In order to be that, you got to be in the book. Amen. Because it contains the complete revelation of God to men. And it meets the needs of the believer's life to help him be all that he can be for the Lord. So we see the Word has captured his full affection. Second thing, we see the Word has captured his full attention. His full attention. The latter part of our verse number 2 back in our text says, "And in his law doth he meditate day and night." Now, that word meditate means to murmur. It's kind of like you're speaking it in a low tone. You're speaking the Word of God. Not only does the blessed man love the book, but he meditates on the book as he seeks to live by the book daily. Now, you think about what it has to say, and you repeat it. And the Bible is internalized, and it becomes the singular standard for the blessed man's faith and practice. We say that the Word of God is our final authority. You know why we say that? Because the Word of God is our final authority. Whether you recognize it as the final authority or not, it still is the final authority, and it's what we're going to be judged by. It's going to be one of the books that's going to be there at the judgment. It's going to be opened up to folks. It's going to be judged by what's in that book. Every thought, every move, every decision is made against the backdrop of God's Word. It should be. And what it has to say about an issue. And that's the way we ought to make our decisions in our life. However, before life can ever be lived in this fashion, one must take care to consume the Bible and make it a vital part of who we are. I know it gets more difficult the older you get to try to memorize verses and to try to keep them memorized. Amen. There's some verses that I used to know really, really well, and I have to go back and look at them because this old brain sometimes don't want to cooperate with me. But yeah, it's good to review the verses over and over again so that they are fresh every time that we look at them. The psalmist declares that the blessed man is the one that spends his days and his nights in the pursuit of the book. I mean, it's captured his full affection and it's captured his full attention. The question is, how much has the Word of God captured our full affection and attention? That's where the blessing and the success or prosperity as believers is found. We're going to be taking a look next week. Lord willing, we'll see the prosperity of the blessed man. But the blessing and the success or prosperity of the believer is found in the Word of God. And we need to heed Paul's advice to the young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of God is never better than when it's read and lived out. Amen. Paul talked about proving the will of God in our life in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Proving the word of God. We prove it out when we live the book. And when you live, when the Bible tells us to do something, and we do that, we can see the blessing that it brings in our life by being obedient to the Word. All right, that's our Bible study for this evening, and we'll come back, look, Lord willing, at verse number 3 next week. Let's set that aside. We'll pull back out our prayer list, and we'll pray for the needs tonight, and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.